Good morning. Could have preached like two more minutes, and it would have given me 2 more minutes to calm down, Stefan. So just blame Stefan if this goes south, okay? Worst case, I'm just going to read you 3 pages. Just bear with me, okay? This really goes south. Okay, let me start with a quick story. So when we just got married, we moved into our first flat, and we lived next to a guy called Herman. Now, Herman had a favorite shirt. He loved his shirt. But sadly, his wife couldn't stand it. She hated that shirt. And then one day, Herman looked for his shirt, and he just couldn't find the shirt. Now, he couldn't find it. A couple of weeks go by, and they go to visit his wife's parents on their farm. And he was sitting on the stoop one morning, having some coffee. And what does he see on the farm? One of the farm workers strolling past, wearing his shirt. Okay. So the wife had arranged with her mom to dispose of this shirt. So the mom just took it to the farm and gave it to the farm workers. Now, didn't quite work out as planned, but 10 out of 10 for effort for her and her mom. So we've all got these pieces of clothing, you know, these old things that you still like to wear. You know, you probably should have thrown it away, but you feel comfortable in them. I'm wearing mine now. I'm wearing my old, very old pair of Vans sneakers. Now everybody's going to look at my shoes. They're stained. They're a little bit gritty and grimy. These soles are broken. Can you relate? Do you have any like old items, an old top, an old shirt, a pair of old shoes that you just don't want to get rid of? Oh, I see Johan having 5 fingers up. Is that a yes or is that 5 items? Yeah, underpants. Oh, okay, moving swiftly along. So clothing in the Old Testament's got a lot of significance. I mean, I'm sure you guys know this. You know, kings wore, what color did kings wear? Purple. Kings wore purple. If you were in mourning, you would wear sackcloth. If you were a priest in the house of the Lord, you know, you had very specific clothing requirements. You had to wear garments of linen, embroidery on your hems. You had to wear tassels and just lots of requirements for clothing. So there was a lot of significance in the Old Testament around the clothing that the Israelites had to wear. Now, also clothing is used metaphorically for God. We read in Psalm 104 verse 2, it says, "He wraps himself in light as with a garment, and he stretches out the heavens like a tent." So today, luckily, we aren't bound by the ceremonial laws of the Old Testament. So we don't have to go and sacrifice animals. We don't have to care about wearing outfits from 2 different pairs of pieces of cloth and all of that stuff. Thank you, Jesus. We don't have to go and do that anymore. But Paul does have some requirements regarding clothing in the New Testament. So would you put up Colossians 3, verse 12 and 14, first verse? There we go. If you want to find it in your Bibles, it is also up on the screen. "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you." Verse 14. "And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity." Okay, so you can all agree that Paul is speaking about 6 different pieces of clothing. I'm saying 6. I don't have 6 fingers. 6 pieces of clothing. He says, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, and over all, love. Okay. So when a king gets the title of king, he gets on his purple robes as a signification of his position as king. So now when we get this title from God, when he bestows this title on us, God's chosen ones, my chosen ones, holy and beloved. It's also, God also said that about Jesus, just incidentally. "This is my son, holy, dearly beloved," when he spoke to him. So we get the same title as Jesus, his own son. So when we get this title bestowed upon us by God, we are to wear these kingly robes. Now, Paul does mention a couple of steps for us in how we should wear these robes. Step one, in Colossians 3, verse 1. If you want to get there, you can just stay in Colossians. Most of the scriptures come from Colossians 3. Colossians 3, verse 1. Since then, my translation, it's the old NIV translation in 1984. It says, if then you have been raised with Christ. So Paul asks us that question, or makes that statement. Have you been raised with Christ? That's the first requirement of putting on the clothes, the kingly robes that God expects of us. Have you been raised with Christ? Have you been raised from your old dead self into Christ, into the new covenant? Step two, let's continue reading Colossians 3, verse 1 and 2. If then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, and set your minds on the things above, not on earthly things. So there are a couple of points there to ponder. Setting your hearts and your minds on the things above. That's a continuous process. It's not something that happens once and then you never, ever have to set your hearts and your minds on the things above. Do we agree?
Yeah.
Is that a daily thing? Is that a 10 times a daily thing? 100 times a day? How many times do you have to set your heart and your mind on Jesus? Every time there's a situation, you want to get angry. We come from Cape Town. There's lots of taxi drivers. And I, too. I do very, very often set my mind and my heart on the things above. So it's continuous. We continuously get face to face with our old dead selves. And continuously we have to force ourselves to get back to Jesus. It requires a renewing of our minds. Because it says, put your minds on the things above. Romans 12 verse 2. I think most of us can quote that verse. It says, be transformed by the renewing of your minds so that you'll know the will of your Father. Paraphrasing. It requires training. 1 Timothy 4 verse 7 says, train yourselves for godliness. Doesn't come easy, like training for a marathon. You have to train yourself in this thing. It just doesn't just happen. So it's all about aligning our visions, dreams, and ambitions with God and with His plans for our lives. That was step two. Step three, let me start with an illustration. So if your children come inside from having played outside, now it's a bit of a rainy day, it's not that wet. Imagine it was rainy, very rainy. They come inside, wet, muddy, and you want to have them put on clean clothes. Would you be happy if they put on their clean clothes over their dirty clothes? I wanted to say I probably smack my kids, but I can't now anymore, so I'll just scold them and put them in a corner. No, obviously not. You know, you'd expect your kids to get off their old filthy clothes before you redress them in something new. And it's the same with God. Let us read Colossians 3, verse 5. There we go. Thank you, AV guys. You're on it this morning. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. In Colossians 3, verse 8 to 10, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with all its practices, and you have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. So before we move on, let's just quickly look at this phrase, put to death, in Colossians 3 verse 5. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to the earthly, your earthly nature. Put to death doesn't mean we just ignore it. Would you agree? Put to death doesn't mean we just don't think about it. It doesn't mean we just hide it. Like my old sneakers here. It doesn't mean we keep wearing it because we're comfortable with it. You know, we keep on entertaining it. It means we go head to head in full on battle with our sin. Okay? And we kill it. There we go. You see, amen. Thank you, John. I just got that from you. Amen. Okay. Yeah. Okay, so we kill it. Okay? Now you're all awake. But that's what it means. It's not a comfortable thing. You know, it's not a, oh, I'm just going to ignore it. It says, put to death. It's a battle. And that's why we have to be focusing ourselves on Jesus every day in order to put these things to death. Okay. So we are to actively go after it. Go up against it. And kill it. Not going to scream it again. Okay. So, what should we be wearing? Let's quickly look at those six items of clothing that Paul talks about. He says we should be wearing compassionate hearts. Now, I love the King James version. The King James translation says, bowels of mercies. Don't look at my stomach here, sorry. I'm pulling it in. Bowels of mercies. That's a beautiful translation. It's a yearning compassion that compels us to do something, to act. Let's look at Matthew 9, verse 36. When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus felt this compassion. He felt this yearning compassion which compelled him to act and help his sheep. Then the next item of clothing is kindness. The Greek base word for this is usefulness. So it's a doing word. It's an action. Acts of kindness. It's not merely saying, oh, I'm sorry. That's terrible for you. Acts of kindness. Humility, again, looking at the King James Version, the translation says, a humbleness of mind. Beautiful, I love this. The Greek base word for this is to rein yourself in, or to keep yourself in check. It's not to allow yourself to roam free and do what you want. Humility, even though you want to be puffed up because you've reached something in your life, potentially, whatever the case may be for you. You check yourself. You rein yourself in. I love this quote. I'm sure you've heard it. It's not to think less of yourself, but it is to think of yourself less. Meekness, which is gentleness. Patience. King James Version uses the older English word, long-suffering. The Greek base for this is with enduring temper. Or fortitude, courage in the face of great adversity, long suffering, love. This is the cherry on top. Verse 14 says, and above all, put on love. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. Love is patient. Patience, it's one of the items of clothing. Love is kind. Kindness, it's one of the items of clothing. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. Humbleness, humility, it's one of the items of clothing. Love binds all of this together. It binds all of us together in unity in the body of Christ. love above all, put on love. You see, beloved, all these things aren't easy, but it's possible. Jesus calls us not to act out of our own sinful, fleshly natures, but he calls us to act out of our new nature, which is Christ in us. Let's look at Romans 13, verse 14. Rather, again, clothing. Clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. Do we put on Jesus every morning before we go out the house? Or do we scream at the kids, scream at the children, we're late, we leave the house with screaming tires? Well, I work from home, so I don't leave the house. But you know what I'm saying, you know, it could be your situation. You could kick the dog if you have a dog. Do we put on Jesus every morning? Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus and do not think about how to gratify the desires of your sinful nature. Don't even entertain a thought. Don't think about how I can gratify my earthly nature. Even if you don't act on it, don't even think about it. That's what it says. Don't even spare a thought for how to gratify your earthly natures. Colossians 3 verse 10. Being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Of your creator, of our creator, Jesus. Because it says, in him, through him, and for him, Jesus, all things were created. These scriptures are key, dearly beloved, in how we keep wearing these clothes. Now we've put them on. How do we keep wearing them? What happens to clothes? They get dirty. They wear out. Eventually we have to take them off. These scriptures are key in how we keep on wearing our clothes and how we keep them from wearing out. Okay. Not by our own power. Because we've got these sinful natures. We can't deny that. So if you try and fight your sinful nature, if you try and put that off and try and get off out of your sinful clothes, but you do it in your own power, what happens? You're fighting sin with sin. You think you can do it by yourself? We can never do it by ourselves. God gives us the power to take off our old clothes, not by ourselves. So if you try and fight sin with sin, who wins? Doesn't matter. Sin. Doesn't matter which side wins. Sin wins. If you get it right and you try and you get one piece of clothing off and you think, oh, I've made it. What happens? Pride. I conquered it. And if you don't conquer anything, who wins? Your sinful nature. Still sin. Don't fight sin with sin. Romans 10 verse 3, like I've read. Put on Jesus. In Colossians 3 verse 10, be renewed in the knowledge of your Creator. Spend time with Him. Get to know Him. Jesus is our power to fight sin. He is the power we have to put to death our sinful natures. He is the power we have to continually and ever become more holy. Without Him constantly renewing us and without us putting Him on every day, we will soon just be found playing outside in the mud again, getting dirty. Christ's death, beloved, should change us, and it will change us. If it doesn't, there is a problem. What I mean is this: Christ's death cannot only be us accepting His forgiveness of our sins. It should also be us giving our lives to Jesus. That's the other half of it. We need to yield our lives to Him for Him to use it as He sees fit. We are not our own. We are God's. It says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. That's what Paul says. So we are to live a life in complete surrender to Jesus. A continual allowing him to take off the old selves and put on these kingly robes.